Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Maine interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, Kyla. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Kyla. I was born and raised in Singapore, and I moved to California a few years ago for college, and now I work at a tech company in Silicon Valley. But before this, I've done a lot of jobs in the fashion media industry. I used to write for Vogue, Tatler, and Harper's Bazaar. In fact, I had my very first byline in a magazine when I was just 16. I was writing about luxury wedding preparation, and I was only a teenager then, so that's pretty amusing to me. And now I'm also an author. My debut novel, The Fraud Squad, comes out from Penguin Random House worldwide in January. And I have two more novels coming on after that in the next 2 years.
Oh my God, that's amazing. So talk to us about the writing process, because I heard that you wrote this in 2020. Is that correct? Like,
this
is a pandemic project that you had?
Yes, it was. It's my pandemic child. I was in my third year at Stanford University then. And I really wanted to be back at home with my family during the pandemic because I saw my friends going back home to be with their families. But I was also doing an internship with a tech company based in California. And for security reasons, they couldn't let me work from outside the country. So I had to stay here and I was living alone for most of 2020. I wasn't really seeing anyone because that was when the pandemic was at its worst and so many people were dying every day. So I was living alone in my small studio apartment, and I thought I was going to be okay because, like, I was young then, and I've always been introverted and a homebody, so I thought I would be okay. But I think just being alone for so long and not seeing or talking to anyone for so long really got to me. And as I usually do when I feel troubled, I turn to books for comfort. But this was also when anti-Asian racism was really rising across not just the United States, but the world in general. Mm-hmm. And it just began to hit me that a lot of the books I was reading didn't really feature characters of color. They were mostly white protagonists. Mm-hmm. And not having characters that I could identify with and relate to made me feel even lonelier. It's like, you know, like even a fictional world that I wanted to escape into couldn't give me the kind of company that I wanted. And that was when I got the idea of writing my own book. I really wanted to set it in Singapore, my hometown, because that was my way of staying connected with my loved ones back home at a time when I didn't know when I would get to see them again. And I really wanted Asians to be the star of this book. And I wanted to make the book really fun and breezy and glamorous, like a book that makes you feel like you're going on holiday when you read it. I wanted it to be the exact opposite of what the world was like during 2020. And I wanted to show that, you know, like Asians could be the star of really vibrant stories as well.
Yeah, I think this book can be like a good movie or TV show. Just to, like, it's very Gossip Girl, very frothy, very fun. It's just,
it is,
like, it's like rich people behaving badly. And you're just like looking and like, can I break this circle down? And it's like, being transported to Singapore and being transported to this world, I was just like, that's different, but seeing chance similar to it, it's it's like so cool. Like, I lived in New York for 14 years, so I'm familiar with the New York scene and like the socialite and all the different things.
Yeah.
It's reminded of New York, but it's like set in Singapore, which is a country that fascinates me, you know?
So. Yeah, exactly. Like, when I was doing my research for this book, well, after my book deal was announced, a lot of people asked me, like, were you inspired by Inventing Anna Delvey? Mm-hmm. And when I was writing this book in 2020, like, I didn't know Anna Delvey. Inventing Anna wasn't really a thing yet. And when I came up with the idea for this book, I wanted to make sure that, you know, it's a viable plot line. Mm-hmm. So I actually did a lot of research, and I really wanted to find examples of Asians who have done similar things, like pretended to be a socialite. I actually did find a few examples, which was great because even if I had known of inventing Anna, I wouldn't have necessarily thought that it could be applied to an Asian context because Anna Delvey's scheme that worked in New York might not have succeeded in an Asian society where the sociocultural norms are so different. So I'm really glad that I was able to find supporting evidence that this is possible.
I love this. And so, what kind of other books do you have coming up? Tell us a little better. Are they still in Singapore? Or are they in other places?
Yeah, so I have another adult novel coming out from Penguin Random House, and that is tentatively November 2023. Yeah, so November next year. And it's going to be set in America this time, and it combines two of my favorite things, which is fashion and Silicon Valley, which is where I currently work. In general, I like to write things that I already know about or that I'm familiar with because I don't enjoy doing research for my books. And beyond these two adult novels, I actually have a children's novel coming out in 2024. And once again, it's about something that I know well. It's about a young female chess prodigy, and she makes a bet with her school teammate about whether guys or girls are better at chess. And again, everyone always asks me, were you inspired by The Queen's Gambit? And again, my answer is no. Like, I didn't know of the show when I was writing it. This was also a pandemic project in November 2020. And yeah, I wish I knew of The Queen's Gambit. In fact, that would have been the perfect title for my book. And I'm really bummed out that Netflix got to it before I did.
So I gotta tell you, like, how do you manage? Because working in tech is it's a lot of work, and so being able to write books and like the time that it takes, like, how do you manage to balance it all? Keeping it real, like, because the world has opening up, so
Yeah.
things are we're having more social interactions, we're doing things like some stuff like be still pandemic style, but how are you managing to get it all together?
Yeah, for sure. So I think one thing is that I really appreciate how my day job is a nice balance to writing and vice versa. So for my day job, I do marketing analytics for a tech company. So I'm working with data and numbers all day long. And sometimes when like numbers can be very regimented. There's not much room for you to convey your own vision because the numbers are already laid out there for you. And so sometimes when I get that creative hankering, I switch to writing. But there are also times when, as an author, I'm the one responsible for making all sorts of decisions about what's going to happen next, what should my character be doing. And sometimes that is overwhelming. And that's when I switch to my day job because, like I said, the numbers are there in black and white. It's really laid out so nicely for you. So I think this combination of my day job and my writing job, it's a nice way of utilizing both my left brain and my right brain, and they act as good counterpoints for each other. But I think ultimately, if you prioritize something, you have to figure out a way to make time for it. Besides my 9 to 5 day job, I think of writing as my 5 to 9 evening job. And sometimes there are sacrifices that have to be made, like not going out with friends or not watching TV or so on and so forth. And it sucks, but that's just how it has to be. And also, I tell myself that I'm lucky that I don't have a family yet or kids to care for because that's like another huge task altogether. And while I'm young and while I'm still relatively free, I might as well use this time to do a creative project that I feel really passionate about.
I love this. Yeah, I think I agree with you. It's something to when we have, you're single or you're in a relationship with stuff like that, but you don't have kids, you don't have any other stuff. It allows you, like, sometimes it allows you to have these creative projects, to dedicate the time. And so,
Yeah.
and I think the pandemic was like either we were too anxious and we couldn't do anything, or we found creative projects that kept us grounded,
Yeah.
while the anxiety and the world was, in turmoil. And so it is amazing to see, and it's amazing to see the product, a couple of years later. I'm like, hey, I got a book baby. I got multiple
Yeah.
book babies,
I know. It's such a weird feeling sometimes. Like when I revisit this book, I wrote it in 2020, when I was still in college, and I was in like a rough, going through a rough patch in my life. I was in a pretty dark spot. And this book is almost like a time capsule, because even though I'm now in like a very different space mentally and emotionally, when I read my book sometimes, I can still remember what I was feeling when I wrote certain scenes. And that's not the person I am now. And I feel this like weird detachment from who I was when I was writing this book. It can be pretty jarring.
Yeah, I love this. All right, so let's chat some reading. What kind of books do you tend to read?
I've been trying to read more books written by authors of color, because I think growing up I wasn't really exposed to a lot of that. Like in hindsight, most of the books I was reading featured white main characters, and so I always had this very internalized Eurocentric ideal of what beauty is, for example, and it's still a work in progress for me to like untangle and unpack all of that. And so I'm consciously trying to read books written by Asian authors and other authors of color, where characters of color are put front and center and are the stars of the show. So one book that I really loved this year was Portrait of a Thief by Grace Lee. So that was awesome. I'm also trying to read more historical fiction. So like She Who Became the Sun. That's set in ancient China. And the next one on my list is Babel by Rebecca Kuang. So that's something I'm looking forward to. Yeah.
I love this. And Portrait of a Thief is something that your book is getting compared, because they're dealing with fraud, in the area of the not this the fraudsters, the
Yes.
best way to describe it,
Yeah.
So it's kind of like fun to see, like, if you like this, try this other one who's like, it's an
Yeah.
art world, it's a different place, a different setting altogether, but it gives you the same idea of like fake it till you make it,
Exactly, like all the scheming and shenanigans. Like I personally love reading about those, so I like reading about those as well.
Yeah, I love this. Kyla, tell us where we can find you online.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I also have a newsletter that I've been trying to post more regularly for. In fact, I have a new issue going out tomorrow. Although I think by the time this episode is aired, this might be outdated. Okay, yeah, but I try to release a newsletter twice a month where I talk about my writing process, my publication process, the inspirations behind my book, and just like some things about my day-to-day life. So yeah, I'm pretty active on social media. I'm very much a Gen Z kid.
It is awesome. So thank you, Kyle, for being the show.
Thank you so much, Laura.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading to your busy life. Listen with the free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on Libro.fm for the price of one with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.